fare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Krishna Jaya Radha Krishna Radha Krishna Jaya Lalita Vishwaha Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
Jaya Vishwabha Parabhag Svabha Rajagacharya Asrata Sisi Vadesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai Namachara Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Pramsa Gahal Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopida Shama Kunda Radha Kudda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadab Dham Ki Jai Ganga Shamana Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gopremanandi All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada.
Jana
Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanda Chadi Jamuna Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Prevenandi, all glorious to some of the bodies. All glorious to some of the bodies. All glorious to some of the bodies. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastha Bhutale Shimari Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtacha Desha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadatta Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 38 Verse 1. Sri Suka Uvacha Akuro picha tamratrim Madhu Puriya Mahamati Ushitva Ratam Astaya Prayayo Nanda Gokulam. Srisukha Uvacha, Sukade Goswami said, Akura, Akura, Apicha, and Tam, that, Ratrim, night, Madhu Puriyam, in the city of Mathura, Mahamati, high-minded, Ushitva, remaining, Ratam, his chariot, Astaya, mounting, Prayayo, he set off, Nanda Gokulam, for the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, after passing the night in the city of Mathura, the high-minded Akura mounted his chariot and set off for the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Report, King Kamsa ordered Akura to go to Vrindavan on the Ekadasi of the dark fortnight of the Vedic month of Phalgun. After spending the night in Mathura, Akura left early the next day. That morning, Narada offered his prayers to Krishna in Vrindavan, and in the afternoon, the demon Vyoma was killed there. At dusk, Akura entered the Lord's village. Text 2, as he traveled on the road, the great soul Akura felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, and thus he began to consider as follows. Sri Akura thought, what pious deeds must I have done? What severe austerities undergone, what worship performed, or charity given, so that today I will see Lord Keshava. Since I am a materialistic person absorbed simply in sense gratification, I think it is as difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see Lord Uttamasloka as it would be for one born as a sudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. But enough of such thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord, for one of the conditioned souls being swept along in the river of time may sometimes reach the shore. Today, all my sinful reactions have been eradicated. My birth has become worthwhile, since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. Indeed, today, King Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Simply by the effulgence of his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. Report, Akura noted how ironic it was that the envious demonic Kamsa had given him an extraordinary blessing by sending to see the Supreme Lord Krishna. Those lotus feet are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and all the other demigods, by the goddess of fortune, and also by the great sages and Vaishnavas. Upon those lotus feet, the Lord walks about the forest while herding the cows with his companions, and those feet are smeared with the kumkum from the gopis' breasts. Surely I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda, since the deer are now walking past me on my right. That face, framed by his curly hair, is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose, his smiling glances, and his reddish lotus eyes. Purport, Akura saw an auspicious omen, the passing of a deer on his right, and thus felt he would see the Supreme Lord Krishna. I am going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty, who, by his own sweet will, has now assumed a human-like form to relieve the earth of her burden. Thus, there is no denying that my eyes will achieve the perfection of their existence. Okay, so here we have the next event. This first verse describes how, after spending the night in Mathura, after he had spoken to Kamsa, and Kamsa had given him the order to go to meet Krishna, he left in the morning on his chariot to fetch Krishna. And in the purport, it mentions how this was the Ekadasi of Phalgun, which means that actually Krishna must have killed Aristasura quite soon before that. So in other words, sometime in Phalgun, he had killed Aristasura, and thus the appearance of Radhakund would have been in the same time. So it's a little bit strange how we celebrate the appearance of Radhakund in October, November, I think it is, after Govardhan Puja and the Ashtami or something like that. So I don't know how that happens, but according to this, it would have happened in Falgun month sometime, which is in the springtime. It's before Gaur Purnima, I suppose, or something like that. This event is, all these events took place very close together. Killing of Arishasura, and then Narada Muni going to Kamsa, Narada Muni going to Vrindavan, speaking to Krishna, Krishna killing Keshi and Vilmasura, and then Akura leaving next morning for Vrindavan on the Ekadasi. And then very quickly he came back also. He spent a night there, and then he came back. So he spoke to Krishna there, and he spoke to the others, and then he quickly returned with Krishna and Nanda Maharaj and all the others. So this verse, the other verses here describe how as he traveled, he began to think. And he thought of his good fortune on getting to meet Krishna. So in this particular avatar of the Lord, Akura and Yadus have not yet met Krishna. So they long to see him. Those who know that he was actually exchanged, etc., they long to see Krishna. So here he recognizes Krishna as the Supreme Lord, as well as being his relative. And he puts himself in a very low position and saying, I actually don't deserve to see the Lord, and perhaps I've done pious activities or austerities or whatever, and actually I don't deserve this because I haven't done any pious activities or austerities or charities, yet I'm getting this chance to see the Lord. Of course, this also is not technically true, because seeing the Lord does not depend on any of these things. It depends simply on devotion. But we'll see that often the devotees express themselves as, or the others like Sukadeva will say, the cowherd boys must have done great punyas to get Krishna as their friend. But it's not cannot happen by normal punyas in the material world. It can only happen by bhakti. Of course, we can also take the meaning in another way, not pious activities, but rather the most auspicious activity, which is bhakti. And then by bhakti we attain the Lord. And tapa sometimes not refers us to austerities, it also means meditation on the Lord. For instance, we see that the Lord ordered Brahma on the first day of his life when he was trying to figure out the origin of his lotus, and he could not. Then the Lord in his voice said, tapa, you do austerity. So what did Brahma do? He did not fast. He did not stand on one leg. What did he do? He meditated on Krishna, which is a type of bhakti again. So often tapa also refers to the performance of bhakti by controlling the senses, etc. So it doesn't necessarily mean austerities of a yogi or pious activities of a karma yogi. Nevertheless, he gets the opportunity to see Krishna. So he's anticipating this very soon, that he will have a chance to see the Lord. And he understands it's a very rare thing. It's not all the time that the Lord allows himself to be visible. So he says it is like a sudra being allowed to chant the Vedic mantras. Normally, he cannot. It's forbidden. So then he says, how can a person like me see the Lord? I am also completely undeserving to see the Lord, yet somehow I get this chance. So this is the mercy of Kamsa. So somehow I've got the opportunity because of Kamsa. So Kamsa's intention, of course, is completely demonic. But it gives good fortune to Akura because he can see the Lord. And, of course, if he brings Krishna to Mathura, then the Yadus get to associate with Krishna. This is also very auspicious. The only inauspiciousness is, of course, the intention of Kamsa was evil. He wanted to kill Krishna. And second, by taking Krishna, he would create suffering for the people of Vrindavan. But that also is not real suffering, because that again is the suffering of separation, which is part of prema. So he was the instrument by which the people of Vrindavan experienced prolonged separation from Krishna in prema, and thus revealed their greatness in comparison to others. So therefore it is, we can say, an arrangement of the Lord, and we should not blame Akura for this job of taking Krishna away from Vrindavan. So he immediately thinks not of these other situations, what will happen, how the people will suffer, etc. People of Vrindavan will suffer, but he thinks of his own opportunity that he has at this time. So he's thinking immediately of the direct, we see the immediate future, where he will see Krishna. So he thinks himself very fortunate. So to get to meet the Lord directly or see the Lord directly, that is actually the aspiration of the devotees doing sadhana bhakti. But we also know that simply seeing the Lord is not the the goal ultimately, because along with the seeing, all the other senses observe the Lord, and then our action senses engage in serving the Lord. So it is not just seeing the Lord, but we can exchange activities with the Lord. And serve the Lord in various ways. So when we aspire to see the Lord, it is not literally just seeing the Lord, but doing other activities as well. Of course, we see the Lord, but we do things as well, other activities as well. So therefore, it's not just a matter of, you say, sense gratification that I see the Lord and therefore I get happy. It is an opportunity for serving the Lord. So when people, when devotees in the Bhagavatam express this, the idea that they will see the Lord or they are seeing the Lord, we should not think of it in a negative way, that it is passive and it's just self-enjoyment, etc. But it's actually one aspect of serving the Lord. So similarly, we have even in sadhana, we have darshan of the Lord. One goes to the temple and sees the Lord. But that is a type of bhakti. It's not a selfish endeavor. So even seeing the Lord itself, if, even if we don't do any other service, we are engaging the eye in serving the Lord. So we have various activities of bhakti using different senses. They're all there for service to the Lord. So the eye is engaged in seeing the Lord. So that is seva. The voice is used for kirtan, glorifying the Lord. The ear is used for hearing about the Lord, shravanam. Mind is used for remembering about the Lord. This is another service. So simply engaging the senses in the Lord, that is perceiving or expressing the Lord through the senses, that is actually service. So we should not think of service as only action using our hands and feet, but rather all the senses when they are engaged in sensing the Lord, then it's actually called service. And it is all powerful in sadhana bhakti to help us advance to prema. So if we are almost qualified to meet the Lord, that's the bhava stage, we're not completely 100% pure and free of obstacles, still the Lord is very merciful, and at that point he reveals himself to the devotee. So therefore the goal of sadhana is fulfilled by bhava, and it's distinguished from sadhana. Bhava is distinguished from sadhana by the fact that bhava, you see the Lord, and sadhana, you don't see the Lord. So the goal of sadhana is to see the Lord. So we see the Lord in bhava, and of course we serve him with our various senses. So therefore, this seeing the Lord in bhava is no longer sadhana. It is beyond sadhana. At the same time, it is not prema, because in bhava there are some obstacles, some anarthas are still there. So that's the difference. So when all the anarthas are gone, then that bhava becomes prema, and it is more intense. And then rasa
fully manifests with the Lord. So in fact, prema is described as, or bhava is described as one ray of the sun of prema. So I mean, the intensity of bhava to prema is nothing almost. One ray of the sun, how many rays does the sun have? We cannot count. So bhava is only one ray of the sun. And that prema is the sun, not even a ray. It is more than the sum total of all the rays. So, therefore, from bhava to prema is also distinguishable. Though, in one sense, they're similar. Very similar, because one can see the Lord and serve the Lord directly, but prema is much more intense. So, therefore, there's a division between bhava and prema. And definitely, there's a division between bhava and sadhana, where in sadhana we are simply practicing service to the Lord. In bhava, one sees the Lord, so therefore it's no longer practice. We are serving the Lord directly. In sadhana, we are practicing serving the Lord, and we don't see Him directly. In bhava, we directly see Him. So there's a difference there. These devotees, like Akura, sometimes express themselves as being persons in the material world who do sadhana, etc. And that they're very fallen and they don't deserve to see the Lord. Actually, all the, we could say the majority of the yadus are actually nitya siddhas, eternal associates of the Lord. So, there's no question of having to do sadhana or being fallen and not concentrating on the Lord or having uncontrolled senses. But they think in this way. Great devotees, they think of themselves as being very, very unqualified to see the Lord. Thus we find the expression of that in these verses. They talk about, Akura talks about his sinful reactions. And by seeing the Lord, all of my sinful reactions will be eradicated, and my birth will be worthwhile. So he's assuming he had many, many births, and now by seeing the Lord, all the karmas and sins, etc., will be completely eradicated. But if he's a nitya siddha, that's not possible. He doesn't have any karma. He doesn't have any sins at all. So he's expressing himself like this as a great devotee, and we'll find in the case of the people of Vrindavan also, they consider themselves people, ordinary people in the material world, subject to the law of karma, etc. But ultimately they are not. They are beyond. But they speak in this way, partly because of the humility and partly because it is the, let's say, the will of the Lord and the Yoga Maya acts to make them identify themselves as ordinary people. So, he actually praises Kamsa as being very merciful because he got the chance today to meet the Lord. And we find that there is some benefit even for the demons unconsciously. By these acts they do. So their evil act is definitely evil, but at the same time it's beneficial for the devotee. Akura gets some great benefit from this, and he also feels great joy in doing this particular act because he can see the Lord. So therefore the evil act of Kamsa is at once beneficial for Akura, because it fulfills his desire. So in general, the devotees who haven't met the Lord, either because they're doing sadhana or if they're in separation in bhava or prema, when they're in separation, then they aspire to meet the Lord. That's their direct aspiration. And so if it happens, then they consider this a great event. So the person doing sadhana, if he attains bhava and sees the Lord, then he's very joyful that his goal has been fulfilled. And so therefore here in bhava stage or prema stage where we have Akura, he hasn't seen the Lord since Krishna was taken away when he was born, and for 11 years he's stayed in Vrindavan. That separation creates a longing that he wants to see the Lord. So when that goal is fulfilled, then it is a great event for him. Just as for a sadhaka, to see the Lord in bhava is a joyous event. So for a nityasiddha, to after separation to see the Lord is also very, very joyful. So though the pastimes keep occurring every day of Brahma, the Lord appears and comes to stays in Vrindavan, and then finally Akura takes him to Mathura. Akura has no memory of that. He thinks, oh no, I haven't seen the Lord yet, and now I get the opportunity. So even though these events occur repetitively, even within one universe, what to speak of all the universes, by the yoga maya of the Lord, he's not aware of that. And this is like the first time for him. He's separated, and this is the first time. And of course, that's so for everyone, all the gopis also. Every day of Brahma, they get a separation, and then finally they meet Krishna. But they don't think, oh, well, we don't have to worry, because yesterday in Lord Brahma's day, we saw Krishna, he came back. So he's going to come back to it. They don't think like that at all. This is, separation has occurred now, it's the first time, and we want to see Krishna. And when they see him, then it's a first, it's a unique event happening for the first time. Yeah? So though these separations happen regularly within the lifetime of Brahma, still each time it happens, it's a new event for everyone. And so here we have a new event for Akura to see the Lord finally. And similarly, when the people of Vrindavan get separated from Krishna, this is also a new event. They don't think, well, it happened yesterday and the day before in Brahma's life. This is a first-time event for them due to the yoga-maya potency of the Lord. So it's always a new experience. So, therefore, this eagerness that is described here is quite genuine. It is not some imitation or fake type of a joy. So the eagerness to see the Lord is expressed by the fact that he even considers Kamsa very merciful to him, in spite of the fact that even he knows that Kamsa is a big demon, but yet he considers it very wonderful because this has given him a chance to see the Lord. So that expresses his great eagerness. So as I mentioned, Akura understands that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And so we see how he describes him in relation, he is, his feet are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and other demigods, and Lakshmi, great sages, etc. So his understanding of Krishna is different from that of the people of Vrindavan. And of course, all the people, all the Vrishnis or Yadus, they also understand Krishna as Supreme Lord. But at the same time, he is Krishna, and he is distinct from all the other forms. He is different from Vishnu, he is different from Rama, Narasimha, etc. So even though we say that Krishna and Vrindavan is the highest form, and then Mathura is less because it's mixed with the consciousness of Krishna as Supreme Lord, and then even less in Dwarka, because of the mixture of Aishwarya, still, it's Krishna, it's the same Krishna. So when Krishna left Vrindavan, that same Krishna is there in Mathura and Dwarka, and he does not age beyond that. So it's not a different Krishna in one sense. Same form. So therefore, it's the same beauty. And he has the same qualities, etc. The only difference is that the Aishwarya mixes with it, so therefore the sweetness is less and less in Mathura and Dwarka. But still, even if we have Dwarka Krishna, where there's a mixture of Aishwarya, that even that form of Krishna with whatever sweetness is still there is greater than the qualities of the other forms of the Lord, such as Rama and Narasimha and Vishnu, etc. It's still superior, even if it's the Dwarka form. And he's still there. Of course, it is the same form of Krishna. So in any case, Krishna maintains his supreme position as Swayam Bhagavan, even in Dwarka. The only difference is that there is this consciousness, he is Supreme Lord. And that's there, and we see here explicitly in Akura's thoughts, and he understands Krishna is Supreme.
Well, usually we find that in this material world, when a person sees a beautiful thing, he feels like seeing it again and again. Like Narada saw once Krishna, then Krishna disappeared, like Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. But seeing is what? Seeing person to person, that seeing, getting pleasure by seeing directly or seeing his paraphernalia, his attributes, his fair. If you see in Sudama's case, his wife told him to say Krishna, and Prahlad saw Krishna, Vishnu by Hiranyakashipu was asking, where is your the Lord? Sometimes we get another agent for us to take darshan of the Lord. The different devotees have different ways to see the Lord.
Well, of course, any type of bhakti is a method of seeing the Lord. And of course, even in bhakti itself, in sadhana, we see the Lord because we have deity forms. Still, even the deity form we will see differently when we reach the stage of bhava or prema. Because at that stage, our eyes are spiritualized and are qualified to see the Lord directly. So we will see the deity differently. And, of course, the Lord responds differently too. So therefore, we see how the deity forms respond to the various devotees, the Lord Chaitanya or others, or we have, what is it, Kirchhoff Gopinath, or we have Sakshi Gopal or something like that. Those are extraordinary ways in which the Lord responds to his devotees because they're qualified. Before a certain level, he won't do that, but after a certain level, yes, the Lord interacts. So, in other words, he can appreciate the direct presence of the Lord within the deity, and the deity responds to that. But we need the eyes to do that. So therefore, that direct vision of the Lord is available to the qualified persons. Then we have, sometimes the Lord separates from himself, as he does from Narada Muni, so he gets more longing, etc. And he does this to the Nitya Siddhas even, you see. He separates himself from all the people of Vrindavan for a long period of time. And this again gives rise to stronger and stronger desire for the Lord. And then finally, of course, the Lord fulfills that desire and meets them. But when they are separated from the Lord, even then, the Lord becomes present. So internally, the Lord manifests himself. So they're not completely separate from the Lord. Even in separation, they have an internal manifestation of the Lord called Spurti. But still, many of the devotees are not satisfied, especially the gopis. And cowherd boys are more or less satisfied with that. But the gopis are never satisfied with that. They want to have Krishna directly and serve Krishna directly. So that's why they refuse the letter of Krishna when he says, oh, you can meditate upon me and this and that and whatever. And yes, meditation is non-different from seeing the Lord, but still, and manasa puja is non-different from direct worship of the Lord, but still, there is something special about direct presence of the Lord. So this is what the gopis desire. They want to directly have the Lord in front of them and serve him.
We find there is no example in Kali Yuga the Lord directly comes in personal form except Darcha Murthy. Like unlike the previous Yuga, the Lord used to come directly in front of Dhruva Maharaj.
Well, Kali Avatar, not, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
I mean Shyam Sundar Krishna, like Krishna coming directly.
Oh, well, he only appears in Dwarpa Yuga and once in a day of Brahma, so it's only one time he appears like that. But each devotee, of course, by his presence, you know, his sadhana, he can achieve that. Now, of course, for great devotees in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, like someone like Ramananda Roy, he revealed himself as Krishna. Or Sarvabhauma Bhatia, he revealed himself as Krishna, Rama, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simultaneously as Sadbhuj. So the Lord does sometimes reveal himself, Lord Chaitanya reveals himself as Krishna as well, to qualified devotees.
We see that when Uddhava come to Vrindavan, you know, although Uddhava is trying to pacify the gopis, but Uddhava was explaining that, see, Krishna is in Mathura, why are you crying here? But gopis are feeling the presence of Krishna. They're feeling, although Krishna is not there. Okay, so what kind of this darshan is also seeing the Krishna? It's like, you know, meditation, it's also meditation, one kind of meditation we can say. Means without, also Krishna is not there, but they are feeling the presence of Krishna.
Yeah, so that's called the spurti, where Krishna manifests himself internally. And so it gives some sort of satisfaction to them. If that is not there, then definitely they would all die from separation. So it's some sort of consolation and separation that the Lord appears internally to them. So it gives them satisfaction. It was not complete. So they want the direct manifestation of the Lord.
And the question, you know, you explained that the bhava and prema. This bhava is like one rays of sun. One rays of sun. And prema is like the sun itself. But the source of the rays is the sun. But can you say that as it is, as the ray, sun is the source of the rays, even rays also prema? Rays, you know, the sun rays, it's also, we can consider as a prema, because the sun is there.
Well, it says similar. Just as we sometimes compare the jiva to a particle in the ray of the sun, and the Lord is the sun. So we do that to show their similarity in terms of consciousness and some free will and other qualities. At the same time, difference is there. So in the same way, bhava and prema are similar, because one sees the Lord, one is spiritualized, one can serve the Lord, etc. But there's also difference. What is the difference? The intensity is much more in prema, rasa is fully manifested, no more anartas, and no more obstacles at all. So there is a difference also, we can say.
I can see, you know, how can you say that there is no obstacle in the prema? We see a lot of obstacle in the prema.
Oh, those obstacles are not material obstacles. Yeah? They're all within the pastimes. Yeah? So the Parakya Rasa has the obstacle of the gopis having husbands, so that is not a material obstacle. That is an arrangement of the Lord within the spiritual world or within the pastimes in the material world. So it's not the same type of obstacle. When we talk about the obstacles in bhava, that refers to there is still some material tinge left, which can cause that devotee to fall, as in the case of Bharat. And he became attached to a deer, and then he fell from his position. So that is some material anarta is still there in bhava stage. A small amount, but it can spark some material desire, and then the person could fall from that position.
The question is, you are saying that the goal of sadhana bhakti is bhava bhakti, to achieve the bhava bhakti. But in the bhava bhakti, we can say, you know, one time, we can have darshan of one time of the Lord, not always. But then why did the goal of sadhana bhakti is bhava bhakti? Because we want to see the Lord always.
Well, ultimately it's prema, but it goes through bhava. The definition of sadhana is a manifestation of bhava. And bhava refers to sthayi bhava, which means the relationship with the Lord, specific relationship of Santa Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, is established and manifest within the jiva at that point. It may not be fully developed with rasa, but at least the sthayi bhava is there. The other elements like anubhavas and yabhacharya bhavas may not be fully manifested. Some of them, but not fully. Simply to get that sthayi bhava established, the sthayi bhava implies presence of the Supreme Lord. You can't have a sthayi bhava without the Lord. So we have the jiva, and we have the Lord, and we have the sthayi bhava between them. And the Lord obviously has his form and his qualities manifested, and the jiva must have a spiritual form in order to perceive and exchange with the Lord and a sthayi bhava. That manifests in bhava stage. We can say that's the immediate goal of sadhana. The ultimate goal, of course, is prema. But immediately, it is bhava. So after bhava, we don't call it sadhana. Even though one engages the senses at that stage, it becomes anubhavas instead. So it's not activities of sadhana bhakti, but angas of sadhana bhakti. It becomes anubhavas at that stage because it is done out of emotion, not out of desire to attain or meet the Lord, because one's already met the Lord.
We can say that that no in sadhana bhakti that devotee perform divine kind of sadhana bhava bhakti also we can say sadhana then because there is activities
well in comparison to prema it's a sadhana
yes,
it's called a sadhaka in relation because it's not complete yet so in relation to prema then it's called the person is called a sadhaka in that sense
and...